The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 20th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Judeans, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." But Thomas, who was called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands, and put my finger in the mark of the nails and my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing, you may have life in his name. This is the Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Oh, sorry. Three times in this text that we have read today, Jesus says to his disciples, "Peace be with you." He says it right at the beginning when he comes in, surprising them because the doors are shut, and he comes and appears anyway. "Peace be with you." And immediately he shows them his hands, the wounds of his hands and his side. He could have done it the other way. He could have shown him his wounds first. But he says peace first. And I think that's important because peace ends up being the first word of the kingdom of heaven, the new era that Jesus is ushering in. Peace be with you. The old era is done. The old era where Jesus might have come back seeking not peace, but vengeance. And the disciples know full well what they have done. They know they have been complicit in the crucifixion of Jesus. They denied him. They betrayed him. They fled when Jesus was arrested. All of the things that Jesus said they would do, they did. And he comes back to them, and the first thing he says is, "Peace be with you." This had to be an incredibly reassuring thing. These guys were already shut up in the room, and they were afraid. They were afraid for their lives. They were afraid that maybe the Jewish authorities would come and get them and arrest them. They were afraid that maybe Rome was going to collect the whole band of them and crucify all them. And they were afraid because of what they had done. They were feeling ashamed. They were feeling guilty. They were feeling like they had done the worst they could do. They were afraid. And so Jesus comes and says, "Peace be with you." Oh, and he says it twice because he knows we need it twice, at least. Peace be with you. Peace be with you. And then the second time he says peace, he says, receive the Holy Spirit. He breathes on them. This is an amazing thing. He breathes on them. His breath mingling with theirs. Some scholars argue that he's not only breathing on them, he's actually breathing in their air. All of that stuff that they have in them, all of the things they're feeling bad about, all of the stuff that they're afraid of, breathing that in, holding it, and breathing back out this holy breath. Isn't that an amazing thing? It's this beautiful exchange, and it's actually really what we do all the time. Bringing in the suffering of people, dealing with it, holding it, praying it out, and then praying forth the Spirit of Jesus for people. This is the pattern of the Christian life. We breathe in people's suffering, and we breathe out the Spirit of Jesus. That's what it's like to live in the Spirit of Jesus. And it starts right here in this story, where they're in that little room scared. Poor Thomas. I mean, the guy just slept in. He missed church that Sunday. It's not like he's a big doubter. I mean, he's just like, he missed church. Jesus wasn't there. Thomas wasn't there when Jesus showed up. So the next day they're together, he's there. But he does say, you know, this is too good to be true. I got to see it for myself. I got to touch his wounds. I got to put my hand in his side. That's what I got to do. Then I'll believe you guys. I've been hanging around with you guys for about 3 years. I know you guys. So he's there. Jesus arrives. What does he say first? Peace be with you. And then he turns to Thomas and he says, touch my hands. Put your finger on my wounds. Put your hand in my side. And Thomas doesn't even have to do that. He just says, my Lord and my God. And he knows that his Lord has been raised from the dead. Now, a lot of the mystics throughout history have looked at this really beautifully. They'll take, like, for example, Julian of Norwich, he says the wound of Jesus' side is actually, it's the entry into paradise. It's the entry into connection, union with Jesus' own heart. So that wound is always there, it's always open. And we enter into new life by way of Jesus' wounded side and enter into living into his heart. That is just beautiful. And then there are other folks who talk about how it is always by wounds that we enter into the heart of Jesus. The wounds, our own wounds, and the wounds of others that we tend to let us know that we need each other, to tend to each other's wounds, and that Christ is right there, breathing that exchange for us. Lovely stuff. I wasn't raised by a mystic, though. I was raised by a boxer. When I was growing up, I think my three brothers could tell you the same story, but my dad would, when I was like really down and feeling lousy, for whatever reason, sad, not fitting in, whatever, my dad would see it, and he'd say, at some point he'd say, go get the gloves. So I'd run and get the boxing gloves, and I'd put them on, and my dad would put his on, but he would never use them. He would just put out his hands like this, on his knees. He'd get down on his knees like this. And my little 7-year-old self would start punching his stomach and his chest. He'd say, go ahead, boom, 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 boom. And I'd be punching and punching and punching, getting all of this stuff out of me, right? And You know, he couldn't help it. He was a boxing. He had to train me. He'd say, shorten your punch, throw your hip into it, right? Double up on your left. And in the meantime, I'm thinking, I'm not trying to be trained. I'm just trying to work this stuff out of me. And I'm punching him and I'm punching him and punching him until finally I'm exhausted and all the stuff just drains from me. And I collapse. He takes me and he grabs me and he brings me right to the chest that I had just been pounding. And he holds me there until he is convinced that I am convinced that I will always be received right there and that I will always find comfort right there at his heart. Maybe I did get raised by a mystic. That is how I understand the whole business of Jesus absorbing our suffering. A small little piece of it that my father gave to me would take all of my stuff, all of my shame, all of my guilt, all of my anger, all of my frustration, take it, hold it right in his heart, and then grab me and bring me in, where only love prevailed. That is exactly the way I feel like God is with us. Taking all that we have, absorbing it, and then gathering us in. Maybe it is through the wounded side of Jesus that we get gathered in to the heart of God. When we are raised into new life, the heart of Jesus is the heart that takes whatever we have given him and transforms it into love and healing. And he hands it back to us, saying, peace be with you. Come with me into the new kingdom, the new era, the new age, where the only thing that matters is that we forgive one another, that we find peace with one another. And our sin, the definition of sin, according to James Allison, is very simply anything that can be forgiven. Anything that can be forgiven. And anything that is being forgiven. We live in that, and we offer it, and we mingle our breath, our spirit, with all around us, and Christ is present, as through closed doors, saying peace, peace.